his tent and dwell and stay with us? Is that the God we serve? The same way the shepherd tends his sheep? Doesn't God tend his sheep the same way? He wants to dwell with us in these green pastures. He nourishes us. Those green pastures nourish the sheep. He wants to nourish us with his word. Amen? Well, we'll get into the water. How about that? He leads me beside the still waters. He's talking about still waters, okay? We're not talking about the rushing, raging seas like Moses when he split the sea and they go through and the water comes to destroy. These are the calm, still waters. Those calm, still waters will provide nourishment for our thirsty souls, amen? Water will also provide, it cleanses. The word is like a form of water because the word comes to wash us and cleanse us of the sins that we've had in our past life. Amen? Amen? The water, it nourishes, it cleans. What about a reflection? The water will give us a reflection. Remember when we were talking about the wilderness and the tabernacle was set up and it was set up the same way every time? And the laver was there, and the water was in it, and the priest would go in, and he would cleanse himself with the water. And then he would look, as he's looking in and cleansing himself, the bottom part was a reflection. And he had to see himself in that laver. And when we look into God's word, he shows us ourselves. Amen. Do we like ourselves sometimes? He wasn't liking himself for the past few days when he was in pain. But look, through this situation, what was God doing? He was allowing him to see himself. The Bible says you can be angry and what? Sin not. He was angry, but he didn't sin. One step further. Amen. What a test he was able to go through. Amen? Amen? And he said earlier, God walked with him through it. Stayed right beside him through it. It ain't always for God to take the pain away from us. But he knew he was right there with him through the whole situation. That's right. He kept your mouth shut, didn't he? Because you said in the past that before, boom. So you know this word is real. You know it has changed you. It's changed me.
Me too.
I'm not the same Katrina I used to be. Thank you, God. This word is life-changing, Kim. It restores. It delivers. It is worthy. Amen? Okay. He restoreth my soul. When, woo, do what? Restored my soul. My. Listen here. Job 42 and 10 says he restored Job's fortune. Is he in the restoration business? Job 2:25 and 26 talks about restoring what the locust had eaten. He wants to restore what the devil has taken from each and every one of us. Jeremiah 30 and 17 talks about he wants to restore your health. Amen? His desire is that we be healthy, that we're wise. Amen? 1 Peter 5 and 10, after you have suffered a little while. What? You mean I have to suffer for a little while? This ain't just a bed of roses and I just sit up here and eat bonbons all the time and what? After you suffer a little while, I will restore, I will confirm, and I will establish you. But we've got to be led and guided by the shepherd. We've got to go where he tells us to go. We can't go where Katrina tells us to go unless Katrina has been in the word and he's speaking through me to tell you where to go. Amen? If Katrina spends all her time just laid up here watching TV, playing cards, running to the store, you don't want to follow me. Because I haven't been, I'm not spending time in His Word. Amen? You're going to see that out of me. You're going to see my actions when I'm not in the Word. We understand people by the fruits that they produce. We don't judge people to condemnation. We don't judge them to hell, right? But we do judge people according to the fruits that they bear, right?
Absolutely.
Amen. So when somebody comes and tells you, don't judge me, oh yeah, I can.
Yeah.
Oh yes, I can. Because that tells me who I want to go around and who I don't want to go around.
Yeah.
I'm going to judge you by your actions. What we got? 7:40. He leads me in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. Saints, He'll go to the ends of the earth for you. You know that? He desires. He'll do everything He can to woo you back into His presence. But listen to what this commentator says here. At times, the lamb will leave the appointed path. We know that sheep, lamb, they're not the smartest animal in the little farmhouse, right?
I'm telling you,
they do what? Hey, there's a reason that He calls us sheep, lambs. So, when He goes off that appointed path, even doing so several times, well, I chastise you. Come on, get back over here, get in line. Well, there I go again, and I'm leading off course. Being retrieved each time by the shepherd. Does God retrieve us every time we go off course? He does, doesn't He? But listen to what the shepherd does. Now, the world today would say, I ain't serving that kind of a God. But listen what he says. But if it leaves too many times, the shepherd, upon retrieving it from the rocky crevices, will take his staff and break one of the legs. Woo! That's intense. That's intense. So not only has he left the 99, remember, and he goes after the one that's lost, and he does that every time. But man, Katrina, you've been off this path one too many times. Look here, little girl. I'm going to have to spank you. We're going to have to do something to get your attention. And here he breaks the leg of the lamb. But let's go a little further. He then carefully sets the leg back in place. Okay? And then lays the lamb on his shoulder close to his heart. What does he do to us when we get out of line? Does he chastise us? The same way our parents chastised us when we were out in the street and they knew we could get hit by a car and get hurt. When we're off our given path, when we're out of sync with him, does he chastise us to try to get us back in place? He doesn't chastise us to beat us down. Remember years ago we talked with this angry God sitting up there and I'm going to get you. And that's not the God we serve. But he will chastise us enough to get us back on track. So the things that he allows, when we were talking about Job, have you considered my servant Job? Have you considered my servant Mike? So sometimes God will allow things to come into our life to mold us and shape us and push us along. But we have to remember that if I'm going through this test and trial, he already knows about it. If I'm going through this test and trial, then he already has prepared me to go through this trial. So, no more Katrina getting mad at God. Okay, what is it that I have to learn while I'm on this path? While I'm on this journey, what is it that God is trying to do to me, through me, or for somebody else? Amen? Let's look at Hebrews 12:5-11. Because this one goes on to says, he carries it until his wound is healed. That is a symbol of chastisement. So, does our God chastise us? Sure he does. He loves us, doesn't he, Jackie? You chastise the ones you love.
That's right.
That's right. Because you don't want them going down the wrong path.
I'm going to be 65. And I still remember, I probably had two or three in my whole life when Daddy actually yanked me up.
Yes.
Now, he whipped me with a belt. Like I said, two or three, but they lasted for like 8, 9 years. And I still remember today when you talk about that, I was still going to try to yank me up.
Absolutely.
But it wasn't, I never... Ever in my life thought he was being mean to me.
Yeah.
I knew I was in, one time I didn't know I was in wrong, but I guess I'll stay with Beechwood Park too long.
Nope.
And I didn't know I wasn't supposed to be up there.
I bet you didn't go back here too long.
But I told him before I did.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. So Hebrews 12, verse 5. And it says, "And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks unto you as unto children. My son, despise not the chastising of the Lord, nor faint when you are rebuked of him." Boy, we get mad when somebody rebukes us, don't we? How dare you come and tell me I'm wrong? And then we get mad and we leave the church. Amen? Don't we do that? For whom the Lord loves, he chastens. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as his son. Baby, that is Hebrews 12, 5 through 7. Okay? So, he will chasten us, chastise us, because he loves us. He loves us unconditionally.
Yeah.
But the same way your daddy whooped your rear end because you didn't come back from Beechwood in time is the same way that he is going to whoop us when we get out of line. Yeah. He wants the best for us. And I was getting ready to say, this is what we're dealing with right now because children were not disciplined. And I'm not sitting here telling you we need to beat our children, you know, half to death. That's not what we're talking about.
Is how they say, every time you say to a person that's same-sex marriage, but you're not supposed to say anything to them or about it. But to me, that is not loving those
people. It's not. It's not.
If I sit and watch them and say, oh, it's okay, you know, go on and something happens to one of them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's the difference here, is because we live for eternity. We don't live for right now. The world lives for right now. And so they want to do what they want to do. So when I go to correct you, it's because I don't want you going to hell. I don't want you living in this and be hurt, you know, here and then eventually go to hell. We want you in heaven. But remember, the world wants to do what they want to do in the flesh right now. We want to feed this flesh, right?
Oh, yeah.
We want to feed it.
All
right. Where do we leave off here? Number 4. Let's go back to Psalms 23 and 4. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." What? I have to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. That means I have to go through the valleys of life. I can't always be up on my mountaintop. Oh, just yodeling up there and having a good old time. Charles David, how many times did we say God does what things in what? Secular, right? So we have seasons, right? So that means there's going to be a time that things are going to flourish and things are going to be great, but there has to be a time when it dies off and we have to be pruned back, right? In order to grow even larger and to grow in order, in a straight line, or however a tree grows. If you don't ever prune it, it just grows all over the place, right? Yes, it looks like chaos, doesn't it? Our God's not chaos. So he prunes you and I in order to get us in line with who He is, in line with what He's called us to do. It says, "For you are with me, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." Now remember, the shadow of death. Satan's after you, right? The same way that Pharaoh was after Moses, you've got an enemy that's always after you. There's an enemy that always wants to see you in pain. There's always an enemy that wants to see you mess up. There's always an enemy that's trying to destroy your marriage. There's always an enemy that's always, he's on his post. He's always there. And that's why we always have to be suited up, right? In our armor. Because he's always there, waiting for a moment that you're going to slip up, that he can slide in here and cause destruction. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But God comes that there may be life, and that life more abundantly. Amen. Amen. Yeah, babe. Yes.
And so,
yes.
There'll be times when I have my cats out on the porch.
Yep.
And I have a light out there. And the cat looks like he's
yes.
big.
Yes.
Yes. You know? But sometimes it's an optical illusion.
It is an optical illusion.
So, when you're in the valley of death and you see these big shadows, mm-hmm. you know, kind of portrays that there's impending doom.
Yes. Yes. But what did we talk about the other night? Or maybe in Sunday school, in Psalms 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the shadows of the Almighty. He's going to protect us. And you're right. The enemy will come in and he will try to make things look this big when really it's an issue this small. And he magnifies the issue that you're going with so he can get you off course. So he can get you to think about your situation and not think about the God that you serve.
Yeah.
Amen? Yes, absolutely. They don't. We sit up here and we worry about some things over and over and over and over. Because this is where the devil plays. He plays in our minds. And if he can trick us into getting focused on that issue, then I'm not effective, right? He's immobilized me, and I can't go out here and do what thus saith the Lord. I can't go out here and fulfill the purpose that he's got me for because I'm so worried about X, Y, and Z.
Yeah.
Fear not, for I'm with you.
If you get a letter from the IRS, you might not want to open it up.
See?
It might take you a week to open that thing.
And it might be a check in there.
You know, and that's the story that I heard. This man, you know, the IRS owes us all this money, and you know, they went through all this and then so they sent him an envelope, and it took him 5 days to open it.
Right.
And come to find out it was a check. The IRS had messed up.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
If you got that check and got some worried, you had a heart attack.
Yes.
And missed it. You know how many people are in the cemetery that is still full of purpose because they were too afraid to go out and fulfill what God's called them to fulfill? When I die, I want to be empty. When I die, I want to have been given out everything that I could give out and go on to be with Him.
Amen.
Do what? Leave here empty. All right, number 5. What we got? All right. We got 752. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. I love that scripture. You don't know how bad I love that scripture. That is me. Do you hear me?
Why you say that?
When I was your mayor, you couldn't believe that I had a table prepared for me in the midst of my enemies. People hated it that I got elected. You couldn't control me. They hated that. They couldn't stand it that they couldn't dictate and convince me to do what they wanted to do. I had to do what God tells me to do. That's not popular. Oh my goodness. Absolutely. Absolutely. Let's do what's right. But listen, he'll prepare a table in the midst of your enemies. Listen. David spent many years crying out to the Lord saying, "Have you forsaken me?" How many of us have done that? God, what on earth is going on? Why do I have to go through this? Why on earth am I still dealing with this situation? It's been about 20 years. Why do I have to deal with this? David is doing the same thing. But listen, mockers hated him. Okay? People are going to hate you. People don't like what you stand for. People don't want you to do what's right. They want you to do what's best for them. Not what's best for the whole situation. What is best for me in my personal situation? And that's what our country has got to today. So now we vote for people based upon what you're going to do for me.
Yeah.
Remember before it was God and country. We're going to defend this country. We're not there anymore. And so now we want to elect mayors and council members and commissioners based upon what you're going to do for me personally. And if you don't do it for me personally, then I'm not going to vote for you again. Okay? So that gets people caught up. Oh gosh, now you're trapped. Now you've become a puppet. And now they control and monitor everything that you do. All right, Jackie. But listen what he goes on to say. But when his appointed time come as king, David becomes king, his enemies couldn't do anything about it. Listen to me. When God calls you to something, can't nobody take it from you. There's not one single person that can abort this mission. When God has called you to it. Listen, I was the first female mayor. They'd never experienced that before. Yeah. That scared them. It was the good old boy system. I messed that up. They didn't like that.
Yeah.
Now I'm married to an African American man.
Yeah.
Oh, heck no.
Yeah.
Were they doing everything they could to stop what we were trying to do?
Yeah.
Of course, that's politics. Yeah. That's sad that we've come to accept that, but that's exactly what happens. That happens nationally, it happens in the state, and it happens at the local level. But God, when He anoints you for a purpose, nobody can take that from you. I can remember applying for a job one time, and I interviewed, and I told the guy, "If it's for me to be here, you can believe I'll be sitting right here." Really? He hired somebody else. That person denied the job. He had to give it to me. 6 months later, he told me what happened. I said, "Did I not tell you?"
Yeah.
What God has for me is for me.
Yeah.
And what God has for you is for you.
Yeah.
Nobody can take that from you.
Yeah.
You start Friday? Yay! See? What's yours is yours. And we're going to celebrate God because absolutely. All the time He's good. Amen. Congratulations, Kim. See, look, in this economy they said is dead, she gets a job. Right? He's worthy and He loves you. Amen. All right. So He says, do what?
The economy's growing
again. And they can't stand that. They hate that.
I know.
They hate that.
Haters.
That's right. It's heating up. This is August. Now, this is when the campaigns really start heating up. So, there'll be one other thing, one major thing, at least. You anoint my head with oil. So when the lamb would scratch his head on something, the shepherd comes in and he puts ointment on the lamb.
Yeah.
Is that what our Father does to us? when we fall down. Remember, a just man is going to fall down seven times. The difference is he gets back up. So we fall down, but we got to get back up. And when we get back up, he will heal us. He will apply the balm of Gilead to us if we allow him. Amen? It says, my cup runs over. Let's look at Luke 6 and 38. Anybody know what that says? Luke 6 and 38. One of my favorite verses. Luke 6. 38. Oh, we got 3 minutes. We're at the end, aren't we? We're at the end. Luke 6 and 38. It says, are we ready? I'll even wait because it's that good. It is that good. All right. It says, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure. Pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Woo! Give, and it shall be given unto you. So, my cup runs over. When he's leading me and guiding me, when I stay on the path, when I let him tell me where to go, my cup will be running over. When I give, it shall be given back to me. That's kindness. That's patience. That's it. It doesn't just mean money. We all in our Western culture think of it as money. We want money, money, money. That means other things. If you want to be accepted, that's right, you can't be bought. You got to stand your ground. Yes, yes. You're right. It's it. There is a lot more things more important than money. Remember, God paved his streets with gold. That's his asphalt. That means nothing to him. That means absolutely nothing to him. Are we going to humble ourselves and do what he calls us to do? It's not always about the cash. Do we need cash? Yes. Does he want us to be prosperous? Yes. But what is the root of all evil? The love of the money. When that money leads you down a path that you start sinning, you know, we always talk about, oh, when I win the lottery. That's just a catchphrase anymore. And they talk about the lottery curse. Well, the same way that money is a blessing, money can be a curse. Because if you're not ready to handle $20, you cannot handle $200,000. Yeah. There is a way that God intends for us to use his money, and that is to advance the kingdom. That is not for us to go out here and blow it on things to satisfy ourselves. Amen? Amen? We're to be good stewards of our money. He entrusts, that's his money. He entrusts us with it. And we've got to do good with his money. Surely goodness. Do what?
But in all fairness, $200,000 is my view of a good house.
Well, you got that right. That's about it. We're looking at millions, aren't we, Jackie? We want millions. We'd pave the streets of Ironton, wouldn't we? Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life.
Yeah.
Goodness gives us green pastures and still waters. Mercy retrieves us when we foolishly leave the path of righteousness. His mercy is still. Listen, when we fought beer off, look, it's that mercy will take us back in. He doesn't want to see us fail. He doesn't want to see us condemned for eternal damnation. He doesn't desire that. He desires to continue to operate in mercy, bringing us back into the fold. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Guys, we're looking at eternity. This isn't the 80-year lifespan that we may have here on earth. That may seem long right now. when you're operating in it right now. But when you compare it to eternity, 80 years is nothing. We have a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. So when the enemy comes at you and desires to get you off path, allow the shepherd to take his staff to come through and guide you with it. That staff can lead and guide you, but at the same time, it can chasten you and give you the whooping.
Yeah.
Right? Take the whooping. Let God chastise you, get you back on track, because he desires that you have life and that life more abundantly. Amen? Let's all stand and pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just thank you, God, for those that were able to come tonight. I thank you, God, for those that were watching via the website. God, we just ask, Lord, that your anointing would fall fresh upon us as we leave this house, God. Allow this word, God, to fill our hearts, that we can take it and that we can spread it all over Ironton. Lord, have your way, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Good.